What up, everyone? This is your host, Joel Sid, and you are tuning into Crypto Chain X podcast. Welcome, everyone. This is the part two of the technical details on blockchain. In our part one, we covered some of the basics and the terminology that we'll be using in upcoming episodes. And in this one, it's more of a continuation of the last episode. In this one, we'll be talking about ASIC chips. We'll be talking about oracles, mining, consensus, hash rate, P2P network, nodes. There's a lot to cover, guys. So without wasting any time, let's do this. Welcome back, guys. This is your host, Joel Sid, and I'm super excited to talk about some of the fundamental technical details or technical terms that are used in blockchain terminology. So when you talk about blockchain, most of these terms talked in this episode and the last one are constantly being used. And I'm sure as we go further, there'll be new things constantly coming up. But these are, I would say, the foundational basics up until now. So let's talk about mining. Mining itself is an umbrella term under which there is numerous other technical terms. So we will cover mining as a whole, but I'll talk about the terms that are under mining. So in mining, when you explain mining or when you talk about mining, is in simplistic terms, let's say there are six computers connected to each other. And these six computers are there like six people. And A gives B a Bitcoin. And this Bitcoin transaction has to be validated by these six computers or six individuals or six nodes. So nodes are essentially a computer or a server that's verifying the information. So let's say they verify this information. The information is verified by solving a complex puzzle. So we'll go into the details of what these puzzles are called technically. And whosoever solves this puzzle first gets portion of the Bitcoin. So let's say I'm sending someone one Bitcoin, and out of these six computers, computer one was able to solve my puzzle. And the puzzle will be just to verify that Sid has enough Bitcoin to give to person B. And once that puzzle is solved, and it's a cryptographic puzzle, we will give what you call a little bit of the transaction cost. So it depends. It varies based on the complexity of the puzzle and the computational needs. So that's why you can't just set a certain amount. That's why transaction costs vary. And that's one of the biggest problems we are having with Bitcoin and Ethereum sometimes. Like, their transaction costs can be really crazy, especially when a lot of people are on it. And what happens is when more nodes or more servers are constantly mining, these problems, they become, or these puzzles, they become more complex. So you need more higher computational power. So in our case, let's go back. If I'm giving one Bitcoin to someone, so out of that one Bitcoin, there'll be a certain amount of portion that will also go out to this computer one that solved this puzzle. Or in mining terms, they validated the transaction. So a node in a blockchain or in a mining operation is a server. This node will then be responsible for solving a puzzle. And this puzzle will be solved by using really high power computers. So sometimes you can use, like, depending on the blockchain that you are working on. So if, let's say, you are working on Monero, you can use your normal computer. But if you are, let's say, trying to do anything on Bitcoin or Ethereum, using your computer just would not cut it. So what most people do is they use something called ASIC, A-S-I-C. ASIC stands for Application specific integrated circuit. And ASIC are the chips. So these are like microchips. They are really built specially for mining. And one of the biggest companies that's doing this like phenomenally is called Bitmain. We did an article on them on Crypto CryptoChainX. It's a news. So they are about to go IPO. And their IPO is estimated anywhere from $15 to $18 billion. And some of the big companies, I think it's Sequoia Capital and some other companies, they have invested up to $450 million in this mining operation. So Bitmain is one of the biggest mining companies, and now they are about to go public. So that would be really cool. Well, it'll be cool, but at the same time, their ASIC Ant miners, they are like, I mean, they are powerful machines. And the way they design these powerful machines is they consume less power. They are very efficient. And more people are buying this. It's a significant investment when you buy something like this, because you have to keep quite a few things in mind when you are mining. One of them being that the cost of your ASIC machines, your electricity cost, your cooling costs, because you got to keep these things cool. So if you live in a very warm climate and your electricity cost is really high, and when I say high, it could be anywhere from 10 cents to 16 cents. Like, I mean, that's significantly high. So you have to think about, is it even worth it? But let's say if Bitcoin goes all the way to $20,000 or $30,000, then you know what? It makes sense. But at the same time, you also have to think about how many other people are also mining Bitcoin. So that's what happens, because there's only limited amount of Bitcoin that's available. And if everyone gets to mining, what happens is that computational power required to solve those puzzles, that gets harder. And you have to solve that puzzle within 10 minutes, because every 10 minutes, one block is created. Now, let's talk about what is a block. So what happens, there's information data of a transaction. So A gives one Bitcoin to B, that's a transaction. Then B gives one Bitcoin to C, D, E, F, G. These are all the transactions, and all these transactions can be put into one block once it's verified. And in that block, you can have as many transactions possible. In one block, you can have 10 transactions. You can have one transaction. The limit being that one block cannot exceed 2 megabytes. So you can have one transaction in one block. You can have 20,000 transactions in one block, as long as the total size of one block is under 2 megabytes. Now what happens? One block is created. Let's say this is a Genesis block. Genesis block is one of the few first blocks created with the information on any blockchain. So since Bitcoin blockchain is relatively older, because it's one of the first ones, it has so much information and all these blocks are joined. So just imagine in 2009 or 2010, when the first transaction took place, that was one of the Genesis blocks. And that's why if you hear about Genesis block on any blockchain, that's one of the earliest ones. Now, more people are transacting. What happens? Genesis block or any block in the sense, and it will apply a hash function, or it will hash. What that basically means is all the information contained within the block, all the transaction information, information about the node, and other key indicators, and it will spit out a string of, let's say, 32 characters, and these 32 characters will be its unique identifier. And the new block that's being created on a blockchain will contain the transactions that are happening in a new block, plus the node information and the hash from the previous block. And that's how these blocks are connected. And that's what we call blockchain. So hash function is basically taking a lot of information and just condensing it into a cryptographic or encrypted string of characters. And these characters can be indexed. So in essence, hash function is not new to blockchain. It's been around for a very long time, just like cryptography has been around. But blockchain utilizes this information to keep all the previous transactions secure, and it cannot be reversed. And that's one of the cool things about hashing. And here's the real world example where you can use the hash function. Let's say you have a 100,000 word document where you wrote everything in a systematic manner. And now you apply a hash function to it and it provides you with a 32 character string. Now you go back and you make some changes to this document. So maybe you made minor changes like capitalization, period, you removed the, or you added just minor things. Any changes made to the original document will also impact its hash. The new string of characters will be very different than the original ones. So it's not a randomly generated cryptographic hash. And each time, if you're using the same data, so that means if you're using the same 100,000 words, they will produce the exact same hash. Now let's talk about consensus. So consensus, in simple terms, it's achieved when everyone within the network, within the blockchain network, all the nodes, they agree to certain transaction. So if everyone says, you know what, I have the same copy of the transaction as this person, that person, and all of us are in alignment, that basically means consensus. So there are different types of consensus which are used in different blockchains. So some of the most common ones are proof of work, which is used in Bitcoin and Ethereum. And then another one is proof of stake. So proof of work is exactly what we talked about in mining, that all the people who are connected to it, they will try to solve the problem. And once they have the solution, they are in agreement. Okay, this is the solution. And then it goes to it. Reason proof of work is so slow because you have to have different nodes, different people coming to an agreement, and they all have to agree. And sometimes what happens is the data is not same on the computers, or the servers are down, or you name it. And that's why proof of work requires so much more intensity and it's slower. So it's not really scalable. Whereas proof of stake, the way proof of stake works is you have individuals who have high stakes within the network. So let's say Ethereum is right now thinking about moving from proof of work consensus to proof of stake. And they are looking for individuals with a lot of Ethereum, because that way, if they are making wrong decisions, their own net worth is also impacted. At the same time, these nodes who will be responsible for making some of these decisions, they are voted in by the network. And a lot of people, they are scared about proof of stake because, number one, mining will be kind of like obsolete at that point. And then the second thing is that these people, they can just take over the network. But chances of that is close to slim. A lot of people are scared, but you know what? There's always possibilities, right, for everything. I think by going into proof of stake, it expedites, it makes the transactions faster. And once you have these dedicated individuals who can make these decisions and validate the transactions, we don't need everyone to approve it. And same thing is happening. Let's say if someone is making wrong decisions or so, the network can vote that individual out. So let's see where Ethereum goes. But right now, everything is up in the air. And some of the other blockchains have already moved into proof of stake. These are the two most commonly used consensus. Some of the other consensus we'll be covering in coming episodes. But I will quickly go over what are the different types of consensus. So one is proof of work that we talked about, proof of stake. Next one is delegated proof of stake, proof of authority, proof of elapsed time, proof of capacity, proof of activity, proof of burn, proof of importance, and then DAG, D-A-G, direct acyclic graph, and zero knowledge proof. These are some of the well-known ones. There's, again, much more. This whole episode was to provide you guys with some of the basics, so when you hear about some of these things down the line, and everything will kind of make sense, and it will all piece together. So at that point, thank you for tuning in, guys. I really appreciate you guys for sending your feedback, leaving comments, and asking me questions, Because of your questions, I have some really cool episodes coming up. Do your research. Learning is the only way. Don't fall for the hype. Don't fall for the hate. There's all kind of BS around. So be smart about your decisions. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. And always keep learning. Cheers.